when something happens that you didn't plan for, because I didn't, you know, I remember laying in the trauma room at the hospital thinking to myself, I mean, I was crying and I was in pain and I was sad and I was scared. I was all those things. And right. Cause we can feel multiple things at one time. And I remember thinking to myself, there's something here. There's something here about getting knocked down and rising back up that I'm going to use. Like I'm going to, I think Robin Roberts said, right? Like make your message. And I believe that I've done that throughout my life. That's what unmuted is about, right? As I silenced myself and was muted and was a toned down and pared down and quiet and in the box contracted version of myself for so much of my life. And now I'm like, no, like, this is who I'm meant to be. This is me, right? Like I'm here. And so for me, like I actually developed, I sang the song I'm Still Standing by Elton John in one of my videos. And I was like, that's a really good title for a keynote. And so then I was like, I'm going to do a keynote about I'm Still Standing, because it's something that's also a celebration of everybody else's experience of getting through the past year. We got knocked down. Yes. And that was hard. And we're still standing. And so now, you know, I've made it, I think relevance is really important. People ask me, how have you gotten this many keynote? I've been super relevant. I've been very aware of what people need right now. And I've delivered in a way that's connected to an experience that I can passionately and authentically speak to and give people tools of their own for how they can navigate their own version of that. And so relevance, especially now, is just so critical. It's like, no one cares about your message if it's not meaningful or relevant to them. Like, no offense, but they don't. It's not about your ego. It's about what they need, you know?
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin', the podcast where we talk to rock stars in various industries all over the country who are crushing life, business, and their personal goals. And it is my pleasure, my honor, my privilege to have my good friend Rachel Druckenmiller, founder and CEO of Unmuted, speaker, facilitator, trainer extraordinaire, and contributor to Thrive Global. And let me tell you, she's a leading woman in 2020 and a 2019 40 under 40 as far as Workforce Game Changer says, and they are the authority on that. Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks so much, Eric. We're going to have a fun chat today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this all week since we got this scheduled. Let me ask you, do you mind if we just dig right in? Because I got a number of great stuff I want to go through with you today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. So you're not like 25 years veteran entrepreneur at Unmuted, speaker, facilitator, trainer. You had a very long and I will say very successful career at an insurance agency here local to both of us in the Baltimore area. Can you tell us about your insurance agency experience, what you were doing at SIG, S-I-G, for all those incredible years?
Yeah. So SIG is the Baltimore office of a large broker named called Alera Group. And my dad actually was a management consultant for SIG, gosh, 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. It's been a minute. And so he said, hey, you know, if you're looking for an internship in the summer, I know this guy that'll probably hire you to do some stuff. So I started as an intern in 2003. And, you know, I worked my way up to being the national director of well-being and employee engagement before heading out on my own in 2019. So I was there for a long time, basically operating as an intrapreneur, pursuing very purpose-driven work and just experimenting with a lot of different things.
So I first met you via, frankly, via, I believe, the Baltimore Business Journal with respect to just seeing SIG win awards as top places to work and you being the director of well-being or whatever your title was years ago before that. And it just sounded like an awesome firm. And then we connected on social media, specifically through LinkedIn, as many people in our industry and even outside our industry do. And And when I found out you're in Baltimore, I was like, holy crap, I got to meet this woman. She's fantastic. So here we are. It's 2019. You are not looking to be an intrapreneur anymore. You want to be an actual entrepreneur. And you say, you know what? I've had a fantastic run at SIG. They're incredible people. I'm still great friends. I'm very grateful and thankful that they gave me this opportunity to excel and build my career and learn and grow. But you know what? I want to do this on my own. So 2019, middle summer-ish, you decide to make that move. September 2019, you say, let's rock. Tell me about that decision-making process that finally pushed you over that edge.
Well, it's funny because my parents are both entrepreneurs. So I grew up in an environment where I just saw people making up what they did and then finding people to pay them. So for me, it was normal to basically not work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I had first thought about, you know, hanging my own shingle, whatever, so to speak, back in like 2012, you know, and I went to grad school at Towson and became a health coach and started a blog. And I was like, I'm going to be a one-on-one coach with people, health coaching, and I'm going to leave. And this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I realized that as much as I had this desire to leave, I wasn't ready yet, you know? And so I got in a lot more reps. I got in a lot more experience. I, you know, went through a bunch of different trainings and really honed in to focus more on what was I most interested in. And I first started speaking in I think my first speaking engagement was probably 2009 or 2010, you know, speaking to a client group that had asked me to do it. I didn't really know what I was doing, but, you know, I started doing it. And then I had my first keynote in 2016, my first national keynote in 2016. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. I really like this. And then I just started speaking more and more and more to HR associations and at conferences and client, you know, manager meetings and that kind of thing. And I was like, this speaking thing, I've got to do this. So I went through a program in 2019 called Heroic Public Speaking, 2018, 2019. And it was there that I realized, surrounded by all these people doing this work full time and getting paid for it, I was like, I am no less capable than them. And that was the catalyst that made me realize, like, Rachel, it's time to like spread your wings and fly. It's time to do this thing. And so it was a series of nudges, a series of things that happened that made me realize, you know, I'd outgrown it and that was okay. I think we resist sometimes outgrowing something and we stay because we want to be loyal and we stay because it's too scary to take a risk. And I realized that like my soul was like dying a slow death by me not pursuing the thing that I was meant to do. And so I, you know, told our CEO in May that I was going to be leaving in September. September 1st was, you know, my start date. And I left with basically a 4-month runway of any type of business that was coming in. And beyond that, I had no idea what was going to happen.
I really love the way you said you took a lot more reps over those years. You used the term reps. I use that term a lot. For me, it's a baseball term. So thank you, whether you did that or not for me. But it's so true, whatever you want to call it, like practice, you know, the old saying, practice makes perfect. I'm not a believer in the old saying of practice makes perfect. I believe that practice makes you better. I don't think there's perfection. I think striving for perfection impedes progress. It's just my opinion. And my question though, I mean, you said, you know, you kind of got the bug, you liked speaking, but you're pretty, in my opinion, you're pretty much an extrovert. But you tell me, I mean, did you ever have a fear of public speaking? Did that ever cross your mind as you started your entrepreneurial journey?
I had already cleared the fear of speaking by that point because I'd done it so many times. I mean, I had done it so many times. I was very scared of public speaking. You know, when I was younger, you know, when you're in school and you're reading a passage as a class and you know what paragraph is, I would like count out, all right, I'm like the 10th person.
I did that. Totally. Who didn't do that? Yes. Yes. I'd be like, I got to get ready. What paragraph am I? I don't want to mess up that word. Yes.
Yeah. I did the same thing, you know, but I realized I had a certain natural talent for it. Like I remember speaking when I was a freshman in college, I was in a communications course that I was just interested in taking. I was a psychology major, but communications interested me. I took a course. I was one of the only freshmen in it. And we had to do like in, you know, kind of a oral presentation at the end of it. And oddly enough, the topic I picked was silence. And now my company is called Unmuted. So that's kind of funny. But I always got excited about it, you know? So whether I was being brought to speak as a sophomore at a regional conference with a sociology professor, you know, I started getting reps in very early on. I mean, frankly, when I was, you know, 19 years old, I was starting to speak. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of what gave me courage was when I started to sing, which happened in college. And as I got more comfortable, if you can comfortably sing in front of people, you can for sure comfortably speak in front of people, because singing is a lot scarier for me.
Yes.
Even though I love it and I'm good at it, like singing is much more vulnerable than speaking. Yes. So they both sort of helped each other, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And I, little known fact about myself is not anymore. I'm no good at singing now, but I used to be a singer myself all throughout high school. Like I loved it. And I feel like I was pretty good at that point. But you're totally right. If you can sing in public, you can speak. Singing is so much harder. So totally spot on. Let me ask you, you know, you speaking of singing, you know, my question is, when you're, because for those that don't know Rachel, please go follow her on LinkedIn. She's super social, super amazing. And when you follow her, you'll notice she does it not every day, but oftentimes she'll do videos where she's singing for the video or part of the video or during the video. And it's incredible. And she makes it part of her message. But my question is, did you ever have anybody say to you, you know, what are you doing? LinkedIn's a professional networking site. You're on video. Just say your message. Why are you singing? Like, it's weird. Did that ever come up? Because unfortunately, people can be cruel. And I'm just wondering if that ever happened.
Oh, there was somebody who said something it was in a presentation actually. And I often tee up when I'm singing in a keynote or a workshop. And I'll talk about, for instance, how one of the ways we kind of downregulate our nervous system is through singing the vibration in the back, singing, humming, chanting activates something called your vagus nerve, which calms down your nervous system. So I will often sing in the context of sharing that little tidbit because it's connected and relevant. And at one point I was doing a session and I didn't make that clear connection. And I was singing as part of the session and somebody wrote in the evaluation, it was kind of weird to be sung to. And I was like affected by it. I was like, what? You know, I get defensive. And then somebody I posted about on LinkedIn and somebody was really encouraging and said, this guy, Justin Pickerling, I think his name is. And he made a comment of like, what the definition of the word weird is, which is like, I wish I could remember it right now, but it was something like positive. So like if somebody's calling you weird, that's actually like, that's a compliment. And so just putting it into the, you know, LinkedIn can be such a positive environment. And so just putting it out there and saying, hey, sometimes not everyone's going to be about what you're about. And sometimes that hurts and that sucks, but it doesn't mean that you should not do it just because one person thinks you're weird. Like, I'm not going to let that stop me. You know,
absolutely. And I my wife and I teach our daughter, who's 12, and my son who's 6 and a half, weird is good. We like weird, be different, be unique, be yourself, right? Everybody else is taken. So, I totally love that. Shout out to Justin, right? That's great. Yeah. Great comment and way to, turn it around. And you're right. LinkedIn is by and large for me, mostly, been always positive. And I think for you as well, but every now and then you get somebody that's not so positive. I think that's part of your message though, because everything with Unmuted, everything I see in your entrepreneurial journey, and since I met you, just as you were starting actually, Unmuted, everything's always so positive, so genuine, unique, and down to earth. Let's talk about 2020, right? Everybody talks about it. Why not us? Because it's certainly, it has impact on all of our lives as a world, and it will forever. We're never going to forget that. You made an entrepreneurial leap in the toward the end of 2019 with visions of grandeur to book yourself for public speaking events all over the United States and beyond all through 2020. And you had tons lined up, I know. And then the pandemic. So did you take it in stride? Did you freak out? Were you nervous? Were you anxious? Did you ever think, oh my gosh, I got to go get my job back at SIG? Like what went through Rachel's mind?
Well, initially, and I remember the week it happened, it was the week of St. Patrick's Day. I'd just come back from a trip to Tampa, actually. And all of a sudden, I just saw that things were shutting down. And every couple of days, I'd get an email, hey, this event's being canceled. This event's being postponed indefinitely. And I just had this moment of like, oh my gosh, wait, is this going to get canceled too? Wait, this event was supposed to generate leads to carry me for another 3 months. Like if that's not happening, what, the pipeline's getting shut down. And so I did, and I started to share on LinkedIn, honestly, about this journey. So I would sing the song like, you know, It Is Well, but would, I remember I got choked up singing that and just let the tears and that moment of pain and sadness be on camera. And I started to, because I think when people see you as positive, there's a difference between like toxic positivity of like Pollyanna positive and kind of being hopeful, optimistic, and encouraging. And I view this on the spectrum of human experience. So I am just as comfortable talking about the points that are painful and difficult and challenging and sad, as I am talking about, hey, this is a really great thing that happened, and giving people permission to really feel whatever it is that they're feeling. And so, yeah, I cried. I was sad. I was angry. I was scared. And it only took, Eric, it took one, you know, that song, the Charlie Puth song, One Call Away, right? Like, I'm only one call away, yes. Right? So I had a client I hadn't talked to in 3 years reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, our employees are struggling with their mental and emotional well-being. Do you do virtual training? And this was the week the lockdown hit. And like any good entrepreneur, I said, I most certainly do. Let's get on a call and talk about it. So, you know, fortunately, it's like my background is in well-being and resilience and beating burnout and, you know, getting through adversity. Like I was already talking about this stuff. And so it was a really good time. HR association started saying, hey, we're canceling next month's event on strategy. Our people are struggling. Can you come in and give us a lift? And so I was seen as somebody who lifted people and elevated and encouraged people and brought about practical solutions for how to navigate this stuff. And so I started having people come to me. And then I got in front of more and more people speaking at engagements for free. And then each of those would lead to something that would be a paid opportunity. And then it just, the momentum started happening, and then it, you know, kind of snowballed.
I knew you were going to say snowballed. And by the way, going back to that amazing song by Charlie Puth, One Call Away, if we ever sing it, you have to be Charlie Puth. I cannot be Wiz Khalifa. If you've heard the rap collaboration part, I will not even try it. I try it with my kids sometimes and they laugh at me and say, stop, please just stop. all right. So you pivoted, right? I love it. You pivoted from 100% in person, going out there, kicking ass, taking names later. And you did as any entrepreneur did or does. You made the move and you found the positive and you turned it into a good thing. But then you had some unfortunate challenge, right? 2020 not only had a pandemic hit the whole world, but you were hit by a car jogging. I've always told you jogging's unhealthy. You were hit by a car, you fractured your back, without every specific detail, unless you need or want to go through it. You had a large Herculean recovery to come from. And yet, my goodness, you told me you were still in 2020 able to book and do more than 100 or almost 120 virtual engagements between speaking at keynotes and or panels or breakouts or workshops and so many other things. Like, that's incredible. 2020, it's only 12 months. You fit a lot in over the course of 12 months.
I really did. You know, you asked the question about, did you ever think about going back to your job? And to be honest with you, I have a really, 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 you know, when I think about what my kind of character strengths and Gallup strengths and all that, it's like strategic ideation. And so I naturally, when I get to a point of being stuck, I don't let myself stay a victim for very long in any area of my life. I just refuse to do it. It's a choice. I realize that we choose how we show up. And I make a choice. Like for me, the only choice was to figure it out. That was literally the only option for me, was you're going to figure out how to do this. It wasn't, what's my backup plan? If I didn't have a contingency, I didn't have it if this doesn't work out. I was willing. I was like, Rachel, you already were willing to bet on yourself to leave a stable, well-paying corporate job where you were successful and all of that. If you were willing to do that, and you were, right, in the midst of a global pandemic, like you're going to figure this out. I was just confident that I had the tenacity, the gumption to reach out to people, the willingness and confidence to, frankly, to self-promote in a way that's not obnoxious or overdone, but just in a way that demonstrates my belief and understanding of my value, because I've heard from enough dozens of testimonials of the value that the work that I do has and the impact that it has. And so I'm confident communicating to people that, hey, this is what I do. And let me know if you want to have a conversation about it. So I did not have a plan B. I did not have an alternative option. My plan was, you're going to figure this out. And I believe that you can do it.
I love that. I love it. And you know, it's something I've said to, I've hired and trained thousands of salespeople for more than 20 years. And one thing I always just end everything with and I talk about is, life is always about choices, right? Life's about choices. And I encourage everybody to simply choose success. And you chose success. You chose to empower yourself to continue the journey, no matter what adversity you came from or went through. You had an accident, you picked yourself up, you dusted yourself off, literally, and you went for it. And that's a heck of a year, 100 and something speaking engagements all over the country, virtually, I mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you were even saying, I mean, as an entrepreneur, this is very important. Most all of those were paid. Obviously, I do it too. You do some pro bono work if and as needed for the greater good, for the future of business and helping people. But to do that many over the course of the years is just downright incredible. In my opinion, and you know, I know everything, as we know. No.
Well, can I say one more thing about this, Jerick? I think will be resonant, hopefully, with everyone listening, is that when something happens that you didn't plan for, because I didn't, you know, I remember laying in the trauma room at the hospital thinking to myself, I mean, I was crying and I was in pain and I was sad and I was scared. I was all those things. And right, because we can feel multiple things at one time. And I remember thinking to myself, there's something here. There's something here about getting knocked down and rising back up that I'm going to use. Like I think Robin Roberts said, right? Like make your mess your message. And I believe that I've done that throughout my life. That's what unmuted is about, right? As I silenced myself and was muted and was a toned down and pared down and quiet and in the box contracted version of myself for so much of my life. And now I'm like, no, like, this is who I'm meant to be. This is me, right? Like I'm here. And so for me, like I actually developed, I sang the song I'm Still Standing by Elton John in one of my videos. And I was like, that's a really good title for a keynote. And so then I was like, I'm going to do a keynote about I'm Still Standing, because it's something that's also a celebration of everybody else's experience of getting through the past year. We got knocked down. Yes. And that was hard. And we're still standing. And so now, you know, I've made it, I think relevance is really important. People ask me, how have you gotten this many keynote? I've been super relevant. I've been very aware of what people need right now. And I've delivered in a way that's connected to an experience that I can passionately and authentically speak to and give people tools of their own for how they can navigate their own version of that. And so relevance, especially now, is just so critical. It's like, no one cares about your message if it's not meaningful or relevant to them. Like, no offense, but they don't. It's not about your ego. It's about what they need, you know?
I love that. That's a perfect segue into finishing us up here on the Rockstars Rockin' podcast. Everybody wants to follow you if they're not already following you. They want to connect with you if they're not already connected. Please tell everybody how they can reach you, where they can find Rachel.
Well, LinkedIn, of course, our favorite place to hang out for sure. LinkedIn is the most popular one, I'd say. I'm getting into, and thanks to you, I'm on Clubhouse at Rachel Druck. I'm on there sporadically, but if anyone's looking for moderators or speakers, I love speaking. I'm on Instagram at Unmuted Life. And then my website, you can actually download a resilience toolkit that I have on there and learn more about my speaking topics and things that I cover in blog posts and other podcasts I've been on. And that is unmutedlife.com. So that's where to find me.
I love it. And for those of you listening, don't worry, check out the show notes. All of those will be in the show notes. If you are listening or watching on YouTube, please do me a favor and subscribe to anywhere you consume this incredible podcast with Rachel, and turn those notifications on so you can know when we have more rock stars just like Rachel. Not quite as good as Rachel, no offense to future guests, but you certainly want to know when they are coming on. Rachel, real quick, because I know I don't want to make it about this, but we have our own weekly segment. Every Monday, you and I are doing the Be More Everything, really. Mm-hmm. Weekly video, 4, 5, 6 minutes tops, where we're diving in on a weekly basis, you and I. We've been doing that now for a few weeks or so, and it's going really well. So I'm excited about that. And I can't wait for folks to get more Rachel and more me over the course of the year. So with that, any parting words, my friend?
No, I would just say that, you know, I would just say, be open to the things that happen in your life, as I know people have heard this, as happening for you, and really determine, like, what meaning can I make of this? Like, what, if anything, what might be the meaning in this? Where can I find a bit of gratitude? Where can I find growth? Where can I celebrate growth? Where can I celebrate how I've adapted? How can I connect to a point of pride? So just taking the time to really, to pause and to reflect and to appreciate the fact that, that you're still standing and that you've made it this far and that there's something good that has come out of like the hot mess that has been the past year.
The hot mess. I'm still standing. This has been another rock star episode of Rock Stars Rockin'. That's Rachel Druckenmiller. I'm Eric Silverman, and we appreciate you watching. Make it a great day.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rock Stars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, rock stars. Keep rocking.